second best. I saw the world crashing all around Weimar, and all the while Molech never very far.
Going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
Turn on your table lamp and you'll see Shlomo's face. Oh, no, we can't play that one for sure. This thing's auto-playing. I just realized towards the end of the introductory musical interlude that I hadn't started recording, but it doesn't matter. I can throw those on in post for the Odyssey video. This is the first of the TKR Telegram, or the official Crypt Report Telegram channel voice chats. I hope I'm coming through all right. I was doing a small amount of testing in another chat, and I was told I was too low, and then I was told I was too high. So I hope I'm coming through silky smooth without distortion and overmodulation and all that. Right now we have a choice we can either have this awesome psychedelic thing here, or we can have nothing at all unless I'm sharing my screen, showing an article or a video or something, because I had an image pulled up, as I'm sure you saw at the beginning, that it didn't look all that great because there's no utility in here to just load an image and have that be the default background image when you're not doing stuff like sharing things or whatever. So I just had my Windows image gallery open with a graphic on it, but suddenly that just stopped sharing and became a not an option. So I guess they still have some bugs to work out on this thing. All right, so here's how we're going to do this. We're going to do this like a call-in show. Do not share your screen. I don't know. I may have to give you authorization to do that, so you may not even be able to do it. But do not share screen when you call in. If you do, I will immediately boot you. That's just the way it is. If I allow people to just come on sharing their screen, there's too much possibility that someone we don't like might come in and show us something that we'll never be able to unsee. And also, you don't want to be throwing your face up on this thing and then having it posted to Odyssey or whatever. Because I'm not going to edit it out. I'm not going to do a bunch of video editing and stuff. Though I may not upload the video of this. I may convert this to an MP3 and just upload these the way I've been doing it, make a little video out of them with an image. But if you're not already signed up for the Odyssey, if you're not signed up for Odyssey and you're not subscribed to my channel, shame on you. There's a link on the channel that you go to. If you join through that, it gives me like 8 credits, which I think is like 40 cents. It doesn't cost you anything, but we need the followers and we need people used to getting used to finding us there on Odyssey, because whenever I do become able to begin doing the real streams, the TKR live streams again, that's where they're going to be. Because despite one or two things that even like some brown person from Odyssey have said in interviews and stuff, it appears that they're kind of sticking to their, we're not just going to outrageously censor thing. And before we get started, I want to remind everyone, this is the reminder music. Can you imagine what I'm about to remind you? Mods, post the post the gear bubble in the Monero in the chat, please. Yes, this is the give us money. Of that, we don't need a full 2 minutes of that, but you get the idea. Coins, cash registers, all that good stuff. See, I think the gear bubble, I think if you go on the, if you go up a little ways on the OKR channel, one of the mods, you can find the gear bubble link as well. All of these things help. Okay, well, you heard during the intro, Biden says that Sleepy Joe. Yeah, there it is. Sleepy Joe says that, and for the people on who are hearing this on Odyssey, if you go down in the info section, links for the Monero and the Gearbubble store are both there as well. He says that the Afghanistan withdrawal is an extraordinary has been an extraordinary success. and for some reason, he didn't take any questions from reporters. But I want to start off by saying that other than the enjoyment we get out of being like, you know, a retard could have done this better, it really doesn't make a shit. The fact is we're out of there. And the fact is that even with it all fucked up, what Biden is doing is better than what even the most base of Republicans are allegedly are screaming for. Oh, is Hate Farmer in here? Let's see. Hate Farmer, raise your hand if you want to come on and co-host for a minute. And if you don't, then I guess, oh, okay. I don't have to curse him. He wants to. Go ahead, Hate Farmer.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah. Isn't this display something? I can run my mouse over it and make it do nifty things.
Dude, I'm freaking out right now, man. This is cool.
Yeah.
Without even trying, you got this really cool psychedelic effect. Yeah.
Well, I got it in spite of trying to do other things, to be honest with you. But I saw this as an option when I had the TKR Mount Rushmore image up there, but shortly, maybe within 5 minutes, it just ceased to be an option to screen share. So I don't know. They got bugs to work out on this thing. Am I sounding okay, by the way, Hate Farmer?
Yeah, on my end, at least, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, at any rate, what I was talking about when I was notified that you were here, despite all of the insanely retarded way that this withdrawal is happening and everything, what Biden is doing is actually better by getting us out of there in any way, any form, no matter how catastrophic. What Biden is doing is better than what all these Republicans are screaming for. Like every Republican congressman out there now, the America First ones and everything, they're all screaming for us to reinvade Afghanistan and like take the whole city and everything so that we can get every, so that we can get every American and every ally and every piece of equipment and everything out of there.
Yeah. We gotta get every radio, every, you got to police up every stray bullet. Yeah. We got to go in there. And what about those mines that we may have left? You know, it's a humanitarian duty for us to go and scrape the topsoil of that whole country to make sure we get every landmine out.
If they want to convince me to invade the place for some reason, the reason they need to use is, and this shows you how fucked up the whole thing is, and how does this happen? We've left hundreds of military dogs there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor dogs. They're not going to fare well under the Taliban.
No. And the thing is, like, they're probably already dead. But the...
Whoa. Have we lost Asbador? Oh, well, I guess I'll palaver until he comes back. Unless it's me who's dropped the line. Let me check the thing. Somebody DM me if we've lost Asbador, if I'm just talking over him for some technical reason. Yeah, it's Afghanistan. It's a really rough case. You can't even entice the soldiers to go back in there for war brides like perhaps you could if we were talking about, you know, Vietnam or South Korea or something. Oh no, where are the war brides? Them dog-looking bitches covered in bags. All right. Yeah, it looks like we lost them. That does happen. I'm not sure if I have the ability to... No, I can't call anybody, I don't think. Let's see. No, all you got is me. We just got to wait until Just got to kill time until Asmodor gets back. Yeah, this whole idea that we're going to go back in Afghanistan, it's really funny because you listen to these fucking Republicans and they're speaking as if we haven't been there for 20 years already. It's like, we got to go in there and there's nothing. You're going to kick ass. You know, they can't stand up to us. It's like, yeah, they kind of show that they can. You know, it wasn't for lack of all the resources that the gay American empire could throw at it. I mean, as evidenced by all the equipment that's been left behind, you know, I think it was 60 odd helicopters, which in the scheme of things isn't that much because due to lack of maintenance, those things are going to be inoperable in, I don't know, a week. But there's a lot of stuff we left behind. I'm not too concerned about like the biometric stuff. You know, that was a big deal. I saw those headlines like, oh no, the Taliban's going to access our encrypted database to track down all these people with our eye scanners. It's like, no, those things have already been used as, I don't know, like serving dishes for goat and rice. You know, I don't really care. Like it seems really hypocritical and sort of like tone deaf for these people to be complaining about all the blood treasure and all the stuff, the kit that we've left behind. It's, I mean, what it was going to become, it was going to go into Afghan hands anyways. Right. And really what it is, it's just ammunition and capital for the homosexual slap fight, the partisan slap fight that goes on between the Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah. You know, I just had internet troubles and it wasn't even the giant reset that happens at random times of the day. So we probably have that to look forward to again as well.
Oh, shit. Like, I thought the World Economic Forum, like, was going to have the great reset every, like, I don't know, 20 years from now. But you got to deal with it every day.
Multiple times daily. And let me tell you something. I know people think I'm bullshitting when I talk about living in a bunker, but I'm literally living in a bunker, a tiny, tiny bunker, in like an extremely diverse, by diverse meaning like no white people, section of an American third world shithole, and I've got to get out of here, people. we're never going to be able to do the live streams here, never ever. And I mean, seriously, I know everybody wants them, but trust me, nobody wants them worse than I want to be doing them. And I cannot, in good conscience, start doing the full feature shows again and promoting them the way that they would need to be promoted and having hundreds and hundreds of people at one time listening and have this kind of shit happening, right? Where the damn thing goes out and you don't know if it's going to be 2 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it's going to be before you come back on. And on real live streams, you know, these are just like voice chat. This video chat thing is basically like a Zoom or whatever. So somehow, because everybody's on the Telegram interface, it'll keep working. But when if I recall correctly, because like a time or two back when we were doing the TKR Live and stuff, like the electricity would go out due to inclement weather or something like that, and the whole thing just fucking stops, right? And like you guys can't even keep talking. Excuse me, can't even keep talking on it. But yeah. the gear bubble and Monero links are there for a reason. Help us out, fam. Help us out. Let me make sure this thing's still recording because I want to. Yeah, it's still recording. Okay, good, good. So what were you saying?
Put on the hey, screen bummer. Share so we can get back to the psychedelic.
Let me do that.
Oh, I was just commenting about how, and you know, this becomes so tiresome. I don't even respond to it normally. Like my brain doesn't get triggered like it used to be, but all the political hay that the Republicans are making about how mishandled the withdrawal is and how we got to go back in and all the equipment and stuff like this. And we got to go back in there because we can win it this time. God damn it. You know, this kind of bullshit. Suddenly, you know, like it matters about all the wasted treasure and lives in there. Like we left behind the helicopters and Humvees and MRAPs and stuff like that. It's like, yeah. I mean, what was happening the whole time anyway? And lest anyone forget, these the contractors, the procurement contractors of the military industrial complex, they all have these sweet ass deals where they provide the equipment and the maintenance, and if anything gets lost, they basically get paid for it. I can't remember how it what they
yeah, and then the government it. And then the government buys another two or three of them.
Exactly. It's literally cheaper for them to just blow up equipment on the ground than it is to ship it back. And the company that's the contractors that, you know, ship it back or whatever the logistical civilian contractors, like, they get paid cost plus, I think is what they call it. But it's a total scam. And you know, like, I don't know if we talked about it or if I bothered to mention it last time we did a voice chat, but there were these boomers on this all four corners of this intersection, and they were like, support our allies, impeach Biden, you know, he's abandoned our allies and the Afghan women and shit like that. And these guys are like waving Trump flags, and they've just literally
what happens when we impeach Biden?
Kamala Harris, the cackling
President Harris, and then she gets to just appoint a fucking vice president, and like she can just straight up appoint the head of the American Communist Party or whatever she wants, and the Democrats will approve whoever it is. I mean, this is such dumb shit. Every aspect of everything the Republicans are doing is dumb shit. Anything past criticizing him to the rafters for how poorly this was pulled off. And I will say this, like, I posted a letter from like 90 retired generals that were demanding that Milley and several other members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and so forth resign in shame. They should be demanding that shit too. And they're not. They should have been demanding Milley's resignation ever since he participated in the coup against Trump when all that shit was going on. And instead of going to the sitting president of the United States to see about whether or not to bring the military, and he went to fucking Nancy Pelosi, who is not his commander in chief, whether Biden is president or whether Trump is president. And Trump was the sitting president at the time. Milley had nothing to say to him, but he goes to Nancy Pelosi, like, okay, what's the best thing for us to do politically? Should we bring out the military or should we not? And but yeah, you impeach if you're gonna. First of all, screaming for impeachment, if you're in the position the Republicans are in right now, where it's 50-50 in the Senate, and there's an impeachment-proof Democratic majority in the House, is like a toddler stamping their foot and screaming for you to do something, or like when some. You know, you're in a chat somewhere and some fucker comes along and starts telling you shut up and this and that. And you're like, no, I'm not going to shut up. It makes the person who is making demands and giving orders that literally no one has to pay any attention to look powerless and gay. Don't you think? Hello, are we here? Has this fucking thing gone out on us again? Okay, you can hear me. Hate Farmer's gone somewhere. We can't hear Hate Farmer. Well, anyway, so I guess I'll continue. Hate Farmer, did you accidentally mute yourself or something? Or maybe Lamote came and dragged him away. I don't know. Well, anyway, yeah. What are they going to do? They're going to impeach Biden. And what good does that do? Then you have Harris. You're going to impeach Harris, and you're going to impeach whoever her vice president is, and you're going to impeach Pelosi, and you're going to impeach Chuck Schumer, and you're going to impeach all these fucking judges who are going to tell you that you can't impeach any of these people, and you're not going to get the first one of them impeached to start with. Now, when the Republicans had just these unbeatable majorities in all three branches of in both houses and in the executive branch, that was the time for some impeachment. One thing a lot of people don't know, you can impeach Supreme Court justices, you can impeach federal judges, you can impeach heads of departments. It should have just been, if they were really interested in power and they were really worried about that liberal judiciary and all that shit, they could have started an impeachment party and had that motherfucker for 4 years. And by the time they were done, they could have appointed judges and justices and department heads and all kinds of shit, and they could have just taken over the government. But of course, they didn't want to do that. They didn't even want to build a border wall. And, you know, so I, this whole being partisan thing is really, really, really gay. And Hate Farmer, if you manage to come back, just go, just speak up when you come back. But, no, we had all this momentum going to get out of these wars, and the momentum was strong enough that all of your, I mean, of course you still had your Liz Cheney's and your Mitt Romney's and shit like that, who are going to push for every war that there is and everything. But your average rank and who hears from people at home and gives a shit what they say, they were starting to be against these wars. They were almost talking like Ron Paul or something about getting out. It was 20 years, and it turns out it was bullshit. We were in there and everything. And now the way that the both sides of the partisan media, weird how they agree on this shit, the Fox News and the CNNs and MSNBCs and all that shit, they all agree that this thing was botched, and we got to go back in there, and we got to take care of the shit. We got to get all those Americans out of there. And nobody will even say the simple fact of the matter is we brought too many of them home already. Those people are no good. Those people, they've been telling them since April to get the fuck out of there. And they all have this huge investment in being there, whether they're government functionaries or they're some type of contractor with the government or whatever. I hear Hate Farmer.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Did you have to step away a second or something?
Yeah. It's okay. The bedtime cycle. Fine. So right, I'm not going to be here long anyway.
Okay. Well, but anyway, and these people have all this investment in it, and they sit over there and refuse to. And these are the people that, whether they're in government or whether they're in private industry contracting with the government, they have every interest in the world in keeping these wars going on forever. And they've been over there saying, oh, yeah, it's all going swimmingly. We're creating a beautiful feminist democratic utopia over here. We just need about 20 more years, you know, and shit like that.
Right.
And they never left when they were told to leave, because they assumed, and, you know, based on past history, they had every reason to assume, oh, well, you know, they're going to set up some kind of ridiculous conditions for the withdrawal, and it's not going to happen, and we're going to stay here and keep making money and everything. Well, fuck those people. Leave them. Get the dogs out.
Yeah. And thankfully, there are no war broads to worry about, because no, and in fact, you've probably seen the same photos I have. Those giant cargo planes just packed the gills with fighting age males. You know, it's not a whole lot of families we were evacuating, right?
Right. But once they get here, you know, through chain migration, they'll all bring 25 or 30 more fighting age males and whatever families they claim they have too. They keep talking about, oh, you know, there's 100,000 or however many of them we're going to be bringing over here, and they don't tell you. Yeah, and chain migration 100% applies to these people. And like every type of immigration thing that has been written to try to curtail some of this shit does not apply to these people, because of the waivers that they get, because they're being brought here as refugees / war allies or whatever. And they get here and they are immediately for life eligible for welfare. And they get all the chain migration, even though, like, for a regular immigrant, they've curtailed a lot of that. I'm sure the Biden administration is doing everything they can to undo that. But it's ridiculous. And have you seen, Hey Farmer, they keep talking about, well, you know, we need to get in there and take over the city so that we can get all these people in there safely. Well, we only controlled one checkpoint, that one checkpoint going right into the airport. And look what happened. And there's hundreds of checkpoints in that city that all these people have to be funneled through, that if those things are manned by our military personnel, can you imagine the shit show that would happen when these fucking suicide bombs just started going off all over the city. How many dead soldiers would we have then?
Well, I'm not really convinced either that that was like a Khorasan ISIS or anything like that, because like who on earth, if not America, is able to prestidigitate just an explosion like somewhere, right? No warning, no whatsoever. I mean, like, it could just, for all we know, it could have just been a drone strike. You know, I don't, yeah. I'm so cynical and so disenamored with our empire, if I ever was, that, like, you know, if it didn't, if it served our interest or our leaders' interests, why wouldn't we just, like, shoot a drone there, right?
Right.
A missile. One of the things that strikes me about this is how the goalposts constantly shift. Like, if you were, everyone I'm sure remembers that when we first invaded Afghanistan, it was some sort of like punitive thing to go after bin Laden and Taliban, right, that was harboring
to try
them.
To force the Taliban to give him up. Yeah.
Right. And then we crushed the Taliban because we had total military victory, like within like 8 months or whatever, at least that's what they said. And then it became, oh, we're going to stand down so they can stand up. And oh, it's about the women. No, it's about bringing them into modernity and stuff like that. And
We're gonna build them a modern country so that,
right?
Yeah.
And now they're walking that back. Now they're saying, "Well, this was never about nation building." Well, it was like that's literally what they were talking about for 10 years. It's like we're gonna
build literally a modern what they society. Were. It's literally what they were doing until a couple of months ago.
Yeah, they were trying their damnedest to make a new province of the gay American empire.
We spent over $1 trillion on their infrastructure while we've let our own crumble.
Yeah. Well, it's a good investment from their perspective, because look at how many like brown people we've just imported all of a sudden, who have like the new converts zealotry, you know. Like they're going to be the best sort of janissaries for the gay American empire in America. They have no allegiance to any other nation. They can't go back home, right? Because they're traitors to their own nation, their own communities, and their tribe. And now they're entirely beholden to this new state that's given them a new life here. And they're just going to totally hitch their wagon. What are the expression is to the star of the six pointed star. they'll be great. They'll be great from the empire's perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
The new sepoys.
Yeah. Red Dog 555 noted that no matter what the refugee situation in any country is, we always get the fighting age males. And for the most part, that's true. And in my opinion, fighting age males should never, you know, unless there's some tiny minority that's being genocided by a modern government, like say the whites in South Africa or something like that, and they share some kind of cultural tie with you, you should never grant fighting age males, refugee status anyway, because like in all these situations in the Middle East, it's like split down the middle. You know, it might not be half and half, but it'll be, you know, 3/5 versus 2/5 or whatever. Let them people sort their own fucking country out. It's not our job to absorb all the goddamn losers.
Right. And what happened to the 250,000 or 300,000 strong Afghan National Army that was like, you know, perfectly capable of standing their own against the Taliban, who were like totally backwards and insignificant? And it's just it's so many lies. And it boggles my mind that people have such short attention span or short memories. You know, it's like, new narrative on news cycle. Me forget past 20 years.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I've mentioned this on these voice chats before. There were stories in the media where our military officers who have to coordinate that Afghan army, they were not only illiterate and completely uneducated, they couldn't even count. And so when they would need a certain number, when they would need a certain number of Afghan troops, they would call their commanding officer over and they would draw a rectangle in the sand and say, I need enough men to fill that box.
Right. Right. And some boxes,
if they told them I need 50 men, they'd be like, what is 50?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, many. Yeah.
They can't even count to 21 with their pants down. I mean, come on.
Oh shit.
Oh, Oh, and
one thing that also like is really remarkable to me is, and of course it's like, you know, so it goes, is how there's no accountability whatsoever, right? Yeah. No heads are rolling. You know, Biden, yeah, he's going through like a little rough spot because the media is no longer given these totally contrived, really safe and scripted sort of like press sessions that they have. But like, no one's held accountable. No, there's no like recriminations. There's no one going back over the policy saying like, who's responsible for this? Who set the policy? Like what strategy failed? And there's none of that. There's no accountability.
Yeah.
It's all on Biden, who like, and I'm not defending the guy. It's just like, look, the dude's an octogenarian, like fucking like sleepy retard. He's clearly not at fault. Like he didn't set the policy. He hasn't been president for all that long. You know, he's focused on, you know, white supremacist terrorism at home. And the COVID crisis, you know, he's not focused on Afghanistan. It's just like, who's responsible?
Yeah,
nobody apparently. It's
one cool thing though, I'm glad we left the helicopters over there because it's funny to watch them fly in those helicopters and hanging people from them. It's like, yeah, there goes your gay rights. It's like, you know, okay, it's like the Taliban was sitting around and they were watching some live leak videos one day. And they're like, you know, this is pretty cool what they do in Iran where they get out a crane and they hang the homos for the crane. We've got to figure out some way to one-up them. And some other Taliban guy raises his hand and says, the Americans left helicopters over there.
Oh, is that what happened? I thought it was just a training accident for the Taliban's paratroopers. You know, they're trying to fast rope down, you know, onto the rooftop or something, and you know, just got hung up.
I don't know. I've seen lots of explanations for it, and one of them was that it's probably closer to the truth, is that this was their retarded way of getting some really good video footage from the air. It's like they had a guy hanging. But you know, a man can dream and think that they're one-upping the Iranians on policing their homosexuals.
Well, another thing, we were talking about all the fighting age males that are coming over here as refugees. You know what we're going to end up doing is, and this is what happened in Iraq and post-Vietnam, is you're going to have like the more intelligent ones, the ones with greater connections, the ones who've made more friends and sucked more UAE dick, is they're going to end up living in a suburb in Langley somewhere, and they're going to be put on a shelf. And then eventually when we decide to restart Afghanistan, you know, the conflict, because what happens, I don't know, Malala goes over there to like shake hands and she gets iced or something. I don't know. Something happens. And then we're going to have all these Afghans with, you know, who've completely lost their accent and barely remember how to speak Urdu or whatever it is they jabber over there. And they're going to be the new legitimate government, right? Just like we would with Ahmed Chalabi in Iraq and all the Iraqi expatriates. So there's going to be the cream is going to rise to the top and be stationed in Langley for like 10-15 years, and we'll be back. Don't worry about it, we'll be back in Afghanistan. Don't worry, you boomers that I saw on the fucking street corner, we'll be back.
Right. So before we take calls, D1964 got his hand up for a while, and this is a little story from Zero Hedge. And I've talked about this, maybe not on the voice chats, but I've talked about it out on the channel. But there's more information in this now. The headline says, FBI suffers another black eye, admits it hid payments to informant in white supremacist case. Now, they left out Satanist. This is the Adam Waffen thing, right? The revelations come at a sensitive time for the FBI and Director Christopher Wray, who's insisted widespread problems revealed about the Bureau of Conduct in the now discredited Russian collusion case have been fixed, even as new revelations of misconduct come to light. The FBI, already under file for its handling of FISA warrants and confidential informants, is enduring more scrutiny as the Justice Department admits agents failed to disclose to a court that they had paid to the tune of six figures a white supremacist publisher for years to be an investigative source. The admission came in a series of court filings this month in the case of Caleb Cole, a Washington State man accused of being a member of the white supremacist group Adam Waffen and participating in an intimidation campaign against Jewish Americans and minority journalists. Cole has pleaded innocent and awaits trial. Cole's lawyers filed a motion to suppress evidence gathered against their client on the grounds that the FBI had failed to disclose in a search warrant application that a publisher of extremist literature. Now, this is one of these people that publishes like the Order of Nine Angles, satanic books and shit like that. Just the fact that people don't catch on to this shit the moment they see it, it always just gets me. Even like back in 2014 before the term alt-right became a thing and far-right Twitter, everybody referred to it as Nazi Twitter, same way like Black Twitter, they refer to it as Black Twitter. There were these like accounts that and they mostly were aimed at teenagers. They would have the links to these websites where they would have this long weird stuff about they mixed Nazi iconography and satanic imagery and stuff. And they would have these websites that tried to make the case that Hitler and the Nazis were Satanists and the way to take over the United States was through Satanism and bringing around the end of the world and all this shit. And, you know, I could look at that shit for half a second and I would tell those people, you go fuck off. Thanks, but no thanks, Agent Faggot, you know. And, but these people, they manage to get followings and stuff. But at any rate, it says Cole's lawyer filed a motion to suppress evidence gathered against their client on the grounds that the FBI had failed to disclose in a search warrant application that a publisher of extremist literature had been paid about $144,000 over 16 years to be an informant, including $82,000 for work in the case against Cole. The confidential informant also had an earlier felony conviction that wasn't disclosed, court records show. The CI began his long career as a professional informant in exchange for consideration regarding his sentence on a federal conviction for possession of a firearm with an obliterated serial number and an unregistered silencer. The failure to include the information, blah, blah, blah. And of course, the Justice Department's like, oh, hey, our bad. We meant to disclose that and it doesn't matter. And the story goes on to say that the entire case against this Caleb Cole guy, the entire case is all just based on reports from this informant. That's all it is reports from this informant. There's like literally nothing else.
With Margaret Mead, she may have been lying, but at least it was for a good cause, is their perspective.
Yeah. But, I hate covering these people and I hate bringing this stuff up every time it's in the news and everything, but I think it's a service that we need to provide, be a little bit of a Dutch uncle here and browbeat people and be like, look, we may be considered extremists, right? The ADL and the US government and everything, they say that people who have our opinions are extremists. They also say that people who think that that Trump won the 2020 election are extremists. But, when it comes to actual extremism, a person with common sense knows it when they see it. And when you see these people doing this Satanism shit, and when you see these people posting this extreme apocalyptic neo-Nazi shit and everything, run, block, denounce. Don't have anything to do with this shit.
Don't even engage or argue with them. Just fucking completely avoid, unfollow, whatever. Don't respond if they DM you, whatever. Hey, brother, looking for someone to advance the cause, seeking like-minded individuals to, never heard from you before. Just ignore them.
Hey, brother. I shopped a sweet mullet I shopped a sweet bowl cut onto your Abby. Here you go. Block that guy. but anyway, All right, and also not going to go into it, but because everybody knows, but that it's going to happen, whether you've heard it or not, you deep in your heart, you know it's true. They're looting in New Orleans. So anyway, all right, let's see if anybody's got their hand up to call.
As Heineken Grendel resurfaced, treading through hip deep water with his Rubbermaid bin full of Heineken. You know, that guy from Katrina.
Yeah, every time that they have a hurricane and the looting starts, McDonald's should bring back the McRib. All right. D1964, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, he's given up.
No, he had his hand up, and I called him. You got to unmute yourself down there.
Oh, yeah, sure. Do you guys hear me now? Yeah.
Yep, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So, good chat. I'm glad to hear Hate Farmer on. Yeah. Long lost voice. Yeah. So, I guess, God, what can we talk about? New Orleans, I used to live there. And I'm glad I'm not there anymore, because I can guarantee they're going oh, chimp-tastic now.
Oh.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, they got no power for a month. I mean, that's the only bad thing about that is they're going to run out of cell phone battery, and we won't be able to see the sweet videos of them chimping out. So,
well, you know. I mean, they've got generators at the Superdome, right? So there's bound to be great.
No, I'm sure they're going to do diversity cell phone charging.
Yeah. Yeah. And black people are not the ones who are most likely to plan ahead for this kind of thing. Like, you know, buying a little solar charger for, our battery banks and stuff when the power's out.
No, like, I talked to one of my friends earlier about New Orleans, and she said, yeah, I got family in Texas. We're just going to drive down there and hang out for a month until the power grid's back up, because apparently it's going to take like a month for them to get power backup, which is nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the people that built the pyramids. I think what we can expect is to a new civilization built on top of milk crates is going to arise out of the
swamp. What they're going to do is they're going to kick down the milk crates in the middle in the last spine injuries to where they'll have handicap placards.
What you don't understand is when they built the pyramids, when they were like cutting the grade to lay the foundation, they didn't have to account for drainage, right?
They were Kangs. You got it right. The Kang.
Yeah, but it's interesting how, you know, I assume that you're talking about white people that are driving here, but the blacks the blacks are going to be headed to Texas as usual every time something happens there,
I'm not really excited about that, because I know how that ended after Katrina, where we had a massive
I remember before any of them could even get here, there were blacks here who were pulling their grifts
right
the day that Katrina pounded into New Orleans. I was in Tyler. And it was raining. It was raining real hard. It hadn't hit fully hard yet.
Can you please tell a good story about that? Like a fucking, your story. I love
this. Well, that's what I'm doing. And and there's this shopping center in Tyler called the French Quarter. So it was ironic that this happened there.
Right.
But I think I was going into the, FedEx place there to FedEx something. And there's this black guy standing, under the awning out there on the sidewalk. And he comes walking up to me like, excuse me, Sarah. And I was like, what? And he says, look at here now. I'm from New Orleans, and I had to flee the hurricane. And I ain't got no money for no place to stay and nothing's to eat or nothing like that. Can you help me out? And I was like, dude, that fucking hurricane just hit. How are you here already? He's like, oh, well,
right.
And the wind blew me over here.
And of course, I wasn't going to give him any money either way, but I wanted to embarrass him to the max. And I said, you whip out your ID and show me a Louisiana ID and I'll help you out. And he's like, oh man, I lost my ID in the hurricane.
of course.
And like, there were all these people that were walking up and I just started shouting, don't give this motherfucker a penny. He's from Tyler and he's claiming he's from New Orleans. And yep. I stood there and fucked with him for 2 or 3 minutes till he left, you know, and he just went somewhere else and did it, I'm sure, but at least he'd have to stand in the rain. And, and they were just doing that like crazy. And they thought like for years after that, they thought that, being from New Orleans when Katrina hit was like they could bring that up, and it was like Jews bringing up, I'm a Holocaust survivor, right?
No, what's funny though is like, so where I lived in Uptown, like they lost power for like 3 or 4 days. It was like the lower ninth where all the, you know, NIGs stay that lost.
Let's use other words. Thank you.
Sorry. So yeah. Where all the darker folks lived that lost a bunch of power. So you got to kind of ask yourself, like, you know, the city council and all this stuff, like, you know, again, Democrat for a long time. They ain't protecting their folks. They're protecting us.
Well, they didn't, isn't it weird how in the middle of this massive Afghan evacuation, we couldn't evacuate New Orleans, but I'm glad didn't.
Well, no. And also let's talk about Afghanistan. So they evacuated what? 100,000 Afghans in
something like that.
Like 1500 Americans. I mean, come on. Yeah. And we're still leaving Americans behind. Like, where are the priorities? Like, again, it's again, we know where this comes from. You know, and it ain't from our guys.
Well, no, yeah. And it's just backwards, upside down shit. And the fact of the matter is, people trying to claim that it was incompetence. Sure, there was a lot of incompetence on the part of military leadership, but as far as the way the thing top down was executed, that was done by design. The American government
mark can do my word. Mark my word, as within 30 days, we'll have a domestic terror attack. I guarantee it.
Yeah. And it'll be blamed on white people.
You know, and that'll be the reason for us to go back there. You know, like some building in New York or LA or Boston or one of the big major cities, we're going to have some kind of attack. It's going to happen. You know, and they're going to claim ISIS-K or ISIS-X or ISIS-W or whatever the fuck they want to say. But that's going to be the reason for us to go back there.
Yeah.
It sucks. It's disgusting. And again, like, I'm ex-military myself, but you know, as far as the whole bleeding heart or military shit, you know, it's whatever, but.
Well, I'm kind of the opinion that if you're going to be that way, like, If we're going to really take into account like value of lives and stuff, all these Republicans who are demanding that we send the military back in there and occupy a huge part of that country until we get every single American and every single ally out. How many military lives are worth one civilian contractor's life or one diplomat?
What these Afghans have translated for us? Like,
yeah,
who cares? Like, they're not my people. They're not your people. So why?
What, hey, farmer?
Well, this goes back to my thing about it's not really incompetence. Like, we think about how the plan has failed or how it was mismanaged. Every American left behind is a tripwire or a future justification to go in, right? It's going to be some human interest story, like you know, that lesbian former Air Force soldier, whatever, you know, left behind, and like, oh, she's on the run, and what's going to happen to her? It's just every failure becomes in the future a motivation or some sort of propaganda material that they can use to jump back in. I mean, it's just it's a self-licking ice cream cone.
You're 100% true.
Like, you said self-licking and lesbian in the you're same paragraph. Yeah, you know,
in another reason for Lobo Homo to continue.
In six months, they're going to have a video of her in some shack that she lives in. With her Afghani wife saying, oh,
lift up that burka girl so I can eat your pussy. Oh, you know?
Oh my fucking God.
smells like an untended aquarium up in her.
Yeah. And they, say you can't get good seafood in Kabul.
Speaking of that, like, you know, I watched the acting and stuff. Like, can you imagine the fucking smell? Oh my God. Like armpits and feet and fucking disgusting desert people. Like,
I don't mind. Like, I don't mind in the burqa, but that damn polyester niqab gives me a yeast infection.
Like, literally, like 8th century goat herders. Like, disgusting. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I had to take on the local habits. I got me a female goat. Now I'm going to eat her pussy.
Fucking, hey, yo, legend at stream right now.
Oh, thank you.
That's fucking legendary.
But yeah, I mean, can you imagine like some lesbian American soldier just completely going native and like eloping with a female goat? No,
lesbians like that fucking bro shit.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just be like, yo, goat pussy.
Yeah. Boy, that's a carpet to munch if I ever saw one.
No, this is perfect too, because they could remake Lawrence of Arabia, right? Instead of, you know, the. never mind. I won't go into that story.
Yeah, it could star that male to female actor Elliot. What's his name? Yeah,
Elliot.
Or female to male. Excuse me.
Or so let's talk about the what was that? The Afghan choir girls that got out or something. They keep talking about it.
No, they weren't choir girls. You're talking about the Afghan robotics team and like church ladies and. Church ladies and NGOs and all are all arguing about who saved their lives. It's like, yeah, oh, that's well, just hey, what we hey, needed.
A bunch I'm of glad FBI we got them out. Robotic. God damn, you know, those fucking, fucking robots.
Well, how are we going to get back to the moon without the Afghan girls robotics team?
No, I'm saying we can get to the moon, for one. For two, to fuck goats. I mean, because that's,
right.
You know, literally right. There.
Well, that's the thing is they'll take the you know, the Afghan girls robotics team now that they're in, you know, a red-blooded Western capitalist society, they'll be coming up with the goat version of the robotic real doll. And because they're going to need those, you know, for all those refugees progress, right? We're bringing over.
It's progress.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
Well, here's a quick no-brain prediction. Is how long do you think it's going to be before we have some Afghan immigrant woman who, like with meteoric pace, becomes like the new member of the squad or something, right? Ilhan Omar got nothing on the new Afghan refugee senator.
2022.
Yeah.
Like somewhere in like Denver, like Michigan, or, you know, one of those disgusting places.
Yeah.
With her fucking nasty ass burqa and her fucking shaved head. And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're in the strangest time ever where, like, the only thing you can do is it doesn't matter what's in the news. You can either laugh at it or cry about it. And, you know, I made my choice long ago. The shit is hilarious.
Oh, I laugh. I laugh so much. Like, straight up, like, joke or laugh, like, you know.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the media wants all the people who are hypnotized by it to be crying all the time and feel like, oh, there's no hope. There's no hope. Hell, there's hope just in the way that it's all collapsing because
it's funny and like in so many people are like rejecting the shit. Like again, when you see like the school board meetings where like parents go to the school board meetings against like masks and just blow them up, you know, or if you saw the, it came out today where the school board was calling on people with like Bart Simpson tier fake names, like Oliver Close.
Oh yeah. I was disappointed when I got to the, Yeah, I was disappointed when they got to the end of it and they didn't have Mike Hunt on the list.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was like, yeah, it's kind of weak, but it's kind of funny at the same time.
Well, the funniest thing is
Democrats don't realize they're being trolled because they're
it was a black guy reading it. If a white guy had read it, by the time he read two or three of those names, he'd been like, wait a minute. The black guy just read through all of them.
It's funny because on a lot of Twitch streamers, they do those names where it's like, I'm trying to think of the one. It's but again, it's basically like the racist N word. Burn, yeah. Racist N word. And the streamer had no idea. He was like, "What? Why are you talking about Bernie? Blah, blah, blah." And he was like, oh shit. He's like, oh fuck. He's like, oh shit. He's like, Twitch. I didn't say that. I didn't mean to say that. Don't ban me. And they banned him.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned like, about like people aren't believing this stuff anymore. I'm getting really encouraged by how radical like even housewives and stuff are getting. This happened. Okay. Yeah, have a listen.
My name is Melissa. I have two daughters in the school system. These are demonic entities, and we need to stick together. Remember,
Christ
Jesus. You can't hear it?
No, I don't hear it.
Let me make sure my screen share has the audio shared.
Yeah, I'm on my phone. That might make a difference.
There's no way to turn the audio up on the screen share. Let me see. Maybe I can screen share the. Well, Twitter's not wanting to work.
Maybe post it on Telegram tomorrow.
Well, it's on Telegram now, but I want to play it.
Here, what do you mean to get the post?
These are demonic entities, and we need to stick together. Remember, we have authority. And
you can hear it, hey, farmer.
These are demonic entities.
Yeah, talking about school board members and the cops.
And all of us Christians.
No, and there's a lot of that going around now. Like, I mean, I'm going to say even if, like, you guys don't like this guy, Matt Walsh from Daily Wire. Like, he made a pretty damn good speech against mask mandates at his local school thing. And again, like, he's not based. Like, you know, he's Ben Shapiro's bitch and stuff like that. He's in touch with Zog. But still, his speech, you know, some good shit.
Yeah.
Well, what they'll do is these alt light, if that's still an operative term, what these guys do is they tap into a popular sentiment, like some sort of resentment or something that, like, you know, motivates people, and then they'll twist it Zog, they'll twist it gay. So it's like these mask mandates, you know what's really bad about them is how it's really harming the disadvantaged minority communities, and it's the Democrats that are really harming, you know what I mean?
It's like what was it, Matt Gaetz thing about Nick Fuentes recently, where he was like, you know, it's messed up. You know, Nick Fuentes lost $50,000, which is a lot of
500,000.
Like 500.
Yeah, no. $500,000, like $500,000 fucking dollars. That's fucking insane. But
Fuentes had a horrible reaction to that. I consider it just like a terrible, terrible reaction. Really? I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it myself, but. You know, Gaetz at one point said
I watched his reaction, but
Gaetz at one point said that he didn't agree with Fuentes's ethno-nationalist beliefs. And I've had several people tell me that, like, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but that he spent like 15 or 30 minutes complaining about the word ethno-nationalist being used in reference to him.
Well,
somebody's standing up for you. Somebody's standing up for you, and I got to say, if some sitting politician would stand up for me and the fucking troubles I've had and am having, and say, look, you know, this is way out of bounds, and I don't agree with the thing this guy says, or they can call me whatever fucked up name they want to call me, as long as they say, look, it doesn't matter what the guy believes, that, you know, we've either got a justice system or we don't, right?
Well, and. So what Fuentes said is, you know, and I watched his show, and he said, you know, I'm glad that Matt Gaetz, you know, stood up for me. He's like, but he got the part of me being an ethno-nationalist wrong, because I'm not. You know, I'm an American nationalist. And, you know, the fact that he called out my show and talked about...
That's the term I use too, but as an American nationalist, I believe America should be white. So aren't we splitting hairs a bit?
Yeah, I know it is.
Does Fuentes not believe that America should be white?
No, he does.
Exactly. Yeah, so the hair splitting, and the complaining. Again, never complain. Never make a powerful person regret defending you.
Yeah.
Can I make a little more self-interested sort of actually, like?
He actually thanked him for defending him. And Matt Gaetz called out Daily Veracity, which is Vince James' website. If y'all don't know. Yeah.
I'm saying
listeners and stuff like that. Yeah. But Daily Veracity is, you know. But
I wish I was in a situation where I had $1 million. I wish I was in a situation where I had $500,000 the FBI could just seize.
Oh, me too.
You know what I mean?
I wish I had $500
right now.
I mean, I wish I had $500.
I think it's difficult. You know, it's fine. It's one thing, you know, like the way that the FBI can totally just like arbitrarily sort of like seize your funds, and you have no like there's basically no due process to address it.
Nah.
And the investigation can go on. Like, all that's fucked up, and that's fine. But let's not complain about the dude's money. It's like this could happen. This does happen to lots of other people who don't have a platform to object to it, who don't have fans that can replenish his coffers pretty quickly. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying what they did was right or anything. It's just it just irks me. It's like, you know, can you believe they impounded or put a boot on my Lamborghini? Like, everybody.
I wish I had Lambo.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying,
I don't want a Lambo.
From what I understand from Nick is like,
he doesn't make the exhaust note on those Lambos. Oh, you know? Have you heard those as?
Yes.
It's not like what's the Proud Boy guy, Torino or whatever, who buys all kinds of crazy shit with his money, you know, but won't pay child support, you know?
Hmm. Well, I can't remember which rapper it was, but there was one that used to think it was funny to make videos of himself pulling up to the welfare office in his Bentley and getting out like decked out
as dirty bastard.
Old dirty bastard.
And going to get his welfare check. When I was a kid, like, my dad lost his job, and like the welfare office wouldn't give us food stamps because my dad's van was worth too much money.
Yeah.
But you have fucking people of color pulling up in Mercedes Benzes, getting their food stamps, you know? And we live right by the welfare office, like a block away. And yeah. I remember seeing that and being like, man, and maybe that's where it all started. Maybe that's where my red pill started.
Hey guys, listen, but tell me if you can hear this.
I can't.
Lamborghini.
He's still on my phone.
See, I can do this all day. It's just an exhaust note.
I hope you can hear it, because I'm revving it as hard as I can.
I can't. I'm on my phone. I can't. For whatever reason, on my phone, I can't hear it.
Yeah.
Post the thing if you can hear that.
I'll have to press watch one if you can hear it tomorrow. And
you should be able to hear it, because I've got share system sounds on. If Hate Farmer can hear it, the chat should be able to hear it.
Yeah, they can hear it.
I'm just saying, for whatever reason, like, on my phone, I can't hear y'all.
Yeah.
But it's all good.
Well, you'll be able to go to the Odyssey
and hear it.
one more time.
I hear Hate Farmer laughing. I'm just
it's
like,
weird. It's weird that Lamborghini does that.
I know it's good.
It's weird that Lamborghini makes that sound. You would think that like they would have programmed an old school Volkswagen or something to do that. But yeah.
Well, you triggered my automotive European autism. Did you know that Lamborghini is now owned by the Audi group? So that's actually Audi motor.
I know. Crash.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Audi, Volkswagen. We're not doing that.
Yeah, if like real mechanics, like that really famous mechanics, like Scotty Kilmer and so forth, like you just listed, like three of the automotive brands that they'll say, don't buy these five cars unless you're stupid.
Yes. I have an Infiniti 50 all-wheel drive. Like and again, maybe controversial, I'm all about Japanese cars.
I mean, in Ford. Ford's going out of business, I think.
Well, no, I'm saying old Ford.
Yeah, but like Japanese cars aren't even Japanese anymore. I was looking at this a while back, just doing a mental exercise of like, well, if for whatever reason I had the money and I decided I wanted to buy a new car,
man,
where would I buy it from?
What would I
buy? And like the only Toyota that's still manufactured 100% in Japan is the 4Runner, which if I was going to buy it, that would probably be it. But
I'm saying like, the Lexus 400.
Like a new car. Wait for the Nissan 350 to come out.
Nissan's a piece of shit.
New Nissan 350 is a 400 horsepower turbocharged car.
I'll tell you like my grandfather told me, I wouldn't wipe my ass on one. But
the sheet metal on those things you could wipe it up like toilet paper. And
Nissan is like it's like the it's the worst of the Japanese, except for the little novelty brands like Suzuki or whatever. Yeah, Nissan has always been lower quality than Toyota and Subaru and so forth. And Subaru is not all that dependable.
Infiniti is Nissan, essentially.
Yeah, and it has the same problems.
Nah.
Infiniti and Lexus are the dumbest things to buy because you just pay an extra for a Nissan or a Toyota.
But I didn't.
Right. Well, I mean, if you buy a thing used, then it's totally on you as to whether you get a good deal or not. I'm talking strictly going to the car lot.
Originally, I wanted to buy a truck, but in Texas, like the truck tax is so goddamn expensive. Like,
yeah,
it's ridiculous. You know.
Well,
I'd much rather have like a mid-80s Ford F-150 or 250, but they're so goddamn expensive for what they are. It's like. It makes no sense.
Yeah, anything up until the 1996 year model before they changed from the old square body style, the prices are through the roof on those right now. I'm fortunate that I bought one. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those are officially OBS now. And like OBS, Ford, Chevy and Dodge are all if you can find one that's not all rust and it still runs and has like the original motor and shit like that in it, they're worth a ton of money. And it just, you know, it depends on the year model when they change things up from being kind of square into the more round shapes at some point in the 90s, they're no longer considered OBS.
Oh my God.
But like I was fortunate enough to buy an OBS F-150 a few years before the craze, but people were already wanting to spend a bunch of money on it. When I bought mine, it was one that I'd been hovering around it like a vulture for years. This old man, who he was like 90 or 91 when I bought it. And it was a 95 model and he bought it new at the Ford dealership right up the road. And, so he was like in his 70s when he bought it new. And it was just as nice a one as you could buy. It was a total cowboy Cadillac. It was black. It had everything. It had cruise control, air conditioner, stereo, electric seats with lumbar, electric mirror, everything you can get on one. And the big 5.8 351 motor, fuel injected and all that shit. And every time that thing went by, I was like, God damn, I want that truck. And so a few times he got to where he wasn't driving it much. He'd just take it around the neighborhood every week or so to keep everything moving. And cause he couldn't drive really. And I was telling him and his wife, like, look, if you guys ever decide to sell that truck, let me know, you know, just let me know. And I'm not going to dicker with you a bunch. I like that truck. I'd like to buy that truck. And I was actually out looking. I'd gone to look at a truck on Craigslist that was it was a few years older, but it was the same body style. And it looked kind of good on Craigslist. But when I went to pull it in to the place where they had it on the side of the highway, when I got within about 10 yards of it, I was just like, oh, fuck no. And I turned around.
It was a 20 footer. Yeah, it was like, looks like 20
right.
foot
away. But... Right. And so as I'm headed home, I go to pull into my subdivision, and that fucking black F-150 is up there on the highway with a for sale sign in it. I drove straight to where they were, and I said, hey, how much you want for it? And they told me, and I said, okay. And I paid them, and I had somebody drive me right up to the top of the road to get it. And I got in it. And as I was pulling the for sale sign out of the window, getting ready to crank it up, this guy in like a brand new one ton Dodge, like one of the really expensive ones, like a, you know, $90,000 vehicle, comes pulling over and jumping out and running up to me saying, how much do you want for it? How much do you want for it? And I said, I don't want anything for it. I just bought it. And he goes, oh, shit. He says, well, can I ask how much you paid for it? And I said, nope. And I cranked it up and drove off, you know. But, I mean, it's like those things, people really want those. And when a vehicle starts getting valuable is when it's a vehicle that people who are now of an age that they have a lot of expendable income, it's the vehicle they wanted when they were in high school. Right. When they get worth a lot of money.
There's no replacement for the old square body Ford trucks.
Yeah. Well, if I could jump in that with it, because I got to bounce some automotive commentary. Sorry to interrupt. Ace says, I had a Subaru Legacy station wagon that was a metal beast. My second car was an Impreza, and it was, I really did like the car, like the all wheel drive and everything, but. You know, you get it past 60 and like the paneling and everything vibrated and the road noise became so loud that I couldn't hear the radio. And also, Nordic Frost says something about Subaru is fun to drive, but everything breaks easily. I have a family member who has a brand new top of the line Subaru, and it's got like all those automatic features that are really obnoxious. You know, like you push a button to close the hatch on the back. And I shit you not, I was helping him with groceries, and I pushed the button. I didn't slam the button. I just pushed the button to close the hatch in the back. And the whole assembly, the button and the bracket that held it into the bottom of the hatch there, pushed inside the thing and was lost.
Yep.
And we couldn't close the hatch. It just like shit just breaks on it. Brand new.
Well, I bought a Jesty one time. And
I'm saying Subarus are trash.
I bought a Jesty one time. It was like an 88 model Jesty that it didn't have like 80,000 miles on it. It was owned by a copier company, you know, a company that would like go around and repair copiers and change the toner cartridges and shit like that for offices. And so, you know, it had been decently taken care of, and it had like the nifty striping package on it, but it was just bare bones. Like it had a plastic cover over the hole where a radio would go. And it had, it didn't have air conditioning. It only had a heater and it had the 3-cylinder motor, and it had a 5-speed, I think, but it might've been 4, but I think it had a 5-speed, but the 5th speed was not overdrive, right? It was just a 5-speed. And that motherfucker, man, and, you know, I live in East Texas where it's hilly, and you would have to try to get it going as fast as you could going down a hill, because when you went to coming back up that hill, at some point, you know, and it's speed limit 60 or 65 miles an hour, and you've got the thing just screaming in third gear and it won't hold 40 miles an hour. But
oh my God.
But it was extremely reliable. It was super simple. It's like you open up the hood and it's like, hey, there's three parts, you know, but, yeah. And they don't build them like that anymore. You can't, when they sold those things new, and that wasn't the only one. I mean, there were every car company, American, Japanese, or whatever, they had little entry-level cars that you could buy new for nothing. Like, you know, Ford had Pintos and Mavericks and shit like that, and Chevy had Chevettes, right. And so forth. And it was a car that, like, okay, you've graduated high school and you've got a job, you know, some low paying job. And
but imagine driving like that gay ass car.
Well, I mean,
when you're young, I mean, you know, you take what you can
get. I drove Civic.
No, the thing is, you get a Chevette or a Civic or something like that, and you have it set up right where, you know, you've put your tape deck in it and it's got air conditioning and stuff. The girls are perfectly happy to ride to the lake with you. But anyway,
the best deals are, at least when I was younger, were that you find out which cars are, there's some like term for it in the industry. It's called like an engineer badge or something like that. It, you basically get like a GM car that like a Geo Prism was a Toyota Corolla. Right. Yeah. Because it's a Geo, you can buy a used one for like 50% of what a Corolla would be.
Back in the 80s, if you wanted to be cool, if you were too cool for one of those little cars, you could buy a Nissan, the one they call a Frontier now. They used to have a package for those called the Hard Body, right?
I'm with Frontier.
And they had the same thing on the Tacoma, and they had the same thing with the Ranger, where you bought the bare bones little pickup. It had a 4-cylinder motor in it, and it had a standard shift, but they put these stripes on it, right? And you'd take it and put your own stereo in it, and you were cool as fuck. And all the car dealers were on TV, and they'd have their live commercials, and they'd be walking up aisles of literally dozens and dozens of them, and every one of them with a different color and a different striping package on it. And they'd say, "We've got them here right now with your approved financing. $39.95 drives it out of here. That's the full price. That's not the down payment. $39.95, right?" And they can't do that anymore because if you try to make a small cheap car, like if you go and you try to buy the cheapest Kia or the cheapest Hyundai, you're looking at least $20,000. Really, because there's at least like $12,000-$14,000 of mandated safety. And
I got fucked when I was in the military. So I bought a Mazda. It was basically a rally car. Like it was their version of the rally car. And
was it the three?
I think it was a five.
Okay.
But it was their basic like Mazda rally car hatchback car. Yeah. And, you know, the dealer was like, oh, take it around the curve. Go fast. And so I did. And it handled and stuff. And it was all good. And he fucked me into a lease because I was a dumb, young Air Force airman into a lease that I couldn't afford. And, So there was that story. It was a fun car.
Yeah. On that note, the 1964, nobody else has raised their hand. So I think I'm going to end the stream while I've got Hate Farmer on here. So I'm going to thank you for the call.
No, yeah, for sure. Like,
all right. Have a good one, the 1964. Great call, by the way. Hate Farmer, are you ready to end? We've been going for like an hour and a half. We might as well. I basically started this to have an experiment with the video chat thing, and I can see there's still some work to do. But I like the whole infinity chat thing. I think that'll be a regular feature.
Yeah, that'd be cool to do with. No, I guess it wouldn't work if you were screen sharing some music videos, right? You couldn't have the infinity thing.
Right.
Well, at least it worked. I mean, when it updated today, I was like, oh, shit, this is what Asmodor needs. or wants.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
better than absolutely. The, well, I say it's what I want, but for it to be what I want, they need to add just one or two features that shouldn't be hard to add. Like they need to put a box in there where you get to upload a featured image for when you're not sharing other things, right? And that would make it pretty much perfect.
Well, they do update pretty frequently. I think maybe like I sense that like an OBS plugin or something like that's coming.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you know, it is what it is. It works for now. But yeah, I was glad I could come on real quick. I was just planning on listening, but then you noticed me, so I had to jump in.
Yeah, I'm a world class noticer. All right. Well, thanks everybody for coming, and remember, Gibbs Shekels Plocks, the Monero and the Gearbubble Store are there. It's capitalism. Don't be some kind of an Eastern freakazoid. Be a Western capitalist and support the Crypto Report. All right. Thanks for joining me, Hate Farmer. Thanks, everybody, for coming. And we'll close out this first of the TKR voice chats with this classic, tender, heartfelt, and romantic song. Good night, everybody.
I'm an MK Ultra victim. There's poison in my system. I'm an MK Ultra victim. There's poison in my system.